Okay, so we're back to a public episode. So for anybody who's maybe a little bit confused, this is episode 3. Me and Jonas are doing 2 of these a month. One is public, one is for Patreon only. Obviously, we have to keep the lights on, have to keep Jonas coming back. You know, the money gets spent on good causes. This nice new microphone I've got, Jonas is going to have a new one next week as well. You know, it goes to good causes, I say. So if you are a little bit confused with where we're picking up, pop over to Patreon and you can get the last episode, and it's going to run through perfectly into this one. But we will give you a little bit of a recap. So Jonas, do a little recap for us where we are.
Yeah, well, we have a situation with a king that wants to send his daughter Ingeborg, who is his pride and joy, off to get trained in, yeah, I suppose all sorts of like both mystical arts, but also just like practical things by an old man whose name, I think it's called Hilding, an old man who's very wise. And basically the king didn't want to send her off alone. So he sends her off with his brother-in-arms' son, so a lowborn called Frithjof. And he goes there to get trained by this old good old type guy, an old wanderer. And so they go off there, and there's a lot of he does a lot of feats to sort of impress her. He gets her the eggs from the highest nests of the osprey and the rocky cracks, and he gets her the fresh budding berries and all this kind of stuff. Lots of romantic and sexual innuendo.
And she had very little hands. I remember that.
And she has very tiny hands.
Mm-hmm. Which come in handy for making things look bigger. So,
well, he's already well endowed, as we've been told several times. So,
maybe that was just a trick of the eye. maybe
exactly.
Maybe he was just like, hold this for 1 second whilst I take a picture.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's like, because he has so tiny hands, he thinks his cock is really big, and that's how he told everyone about his humongous cock, and that's how this story became what it is today, with him being well endowed, but it's just him basically...
Yeah,
having a sort of, a kind of visual experience that...
It only takes one person to start a rumor. So if anybody listening to this wants to start a rumor about me, then I'm all for it. I mean, depending on the rumor, I guess. Okay.
But there's a reason why you made horns about him.
Yeah. You know what? The amount of times that I get like horn jokes, horny jokes, comments about the size of my horn. Like it is, I've heard them all.
I am sure.
If you can think of an original horn joke, please send me it, because I'd love to see it, because I feel like I've heard everyone now.
Yeah. I can't come up with one off the top of my head, but I'll give it the old college try.
Someone will DM me one. We have some incredibly smart listeners. Somebody will DM me with one. We get some hilarious things.
Who's that chick that makes all those amazing memes?
Oh, it's a chick. It's a gentleman.
It's a gentleman, really? I thought it was a chick.
No, it's... Oh, his name is... Somebody please pop this in the chat. His name has escaped me now. His name is gone. But Jonas made the one of me. Did you see me as Leonardo DiCaprio from the last episode?
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't seen that, go and check out my profile picture, because it works really well.
It's actually really well done. It's really. I was actually struggling to figure out because it is so well morphed in. I was struggling to figure out where was that picture from, like. And then immediately, of course, it came quite quickly. But in the first glance, I couldn't see it was that Leonardo DiCaprio thing that's been used in thousands of memes and so on. It's really well.
Yeah, You know what? I had to call Facebook up today to talk about this. It's a whole different story. To talk about one of the pages that's been restricted. And I was like, it's been restricted. I need this slide, whatever. And he's like, oh, well, it could be down to when you send your ID. If your profile picture doesn't look like you and we can't identify you, it could be down to that. And he's like, your profile picture now is like, is that Leonardo DiCaprio from Django? He started laughing to himself. And I'm like, it is, yeah. Good, isn't it? He's like, yeah, but you might have to change it to like a clearer picture of you. And I'm like, oh.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah. I know, but you've got
to... Taking all the fun out of it.
You've got to play the game with them, haven't you?
Yeah, you do. But anyway, so to get on with the recap of what's happened. I mean, they are having all these experiences of being taught by this guy. It's actually just a lot of, him doing all kinds of amazing things and her weaving stuff. And then, and her clapping her small hands, of course. And then now what we're having is a situation where Hilding is telling the story of Baldur's death. And fuck, what was the relevance of that? Bum, 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 bum.
Whilst you think, I just want to give a shout out. It's Caden Huber that makes all the memes. So he's the meme master over there.
I don't know why I thought Caden was a girl's name.
No, it's a gentleman. I think he's a tattoo artist, actually.
Doesn't matter.
No. He's a good meme maker.
He definitely is. Incredible. Can't figure out exactly why. I think it's simply just that this healing guy wants to give them some knowledge here about something. We probably will get the relevance of it afterwards, probably. Mm-hmm. But basically, where we are in the story of Baldur, which was quantically enhanced as well, we can say safely say. Odin is at the Seeress, or who's just described as a Norn in this one. And the Seeress is speaking to Odin, and then Odin will answer, and so on. So that's where we are.
There we go.
Okay, cool.
Let's go from there.
What mystic spell of sternest might penetrates the dungeon's night? Stirs me from my sleep of old. Who art thou, O stranger bold? Go, let me rest for here below, through winter's snows and summer's glow, through dripping dew and streaming rain. A thousand years I now have lain. Ruthless thou starest that gets deep rest. Who mayst thou be, thou stranger guest? And Odin answered, Wanderer, unknown my name, a warrior's son, untold my fame. Of the upper world I would not know, but fain would seek of those below. For whom is the glittering table spread? For whom prepared the golden bed? Again the hollow tones responded. Sawest thou not in beaker bright, draught of sweet mead, foaming light? O'er it hangs the golden shield, warrior's arm no more shall wield. Balder's coming these betoken, Balder's death doom hath been spoken. This reed reluctant have I told. Now get thee gone, thou stranger bold. Leave the weary to her rest, and come no more, whatever thy quest. Down in the abyss the mist rolled and parted, permitting Odin for an instant to gaze into the joyous realm of death. And he saw that all was indeed made ready to receive his beloved son. With the tears starting to his eyes, he mounted his steed and turned sadly homeward. Loud cries of woe broke from the waiting gods and goddesses when Odin told them the saying of the Norns. Vainly they sought some means by which the doom of their favorite might be averted, till at last Frigga bethought her of a plan, which was hailed with all joy by all. As mistress of the earth, she bound by oath everything that existed thereon, fire and water, iron and all other metals, rock and soil, bush and tree, all these are poison, with all created beings of the earth, the air and the water, not to harm her son. Alone of the tender mistletoe that hangs from the bough, she took no oath. Nothing. Deeming their favorite safe from harm, the gods in their joy began to sport with him. Some flung sharp pointed spears at him, and lo, they fell harmless to the ground. Others smote his uncovered head with their keen blades, yet not a hair of his head was injured. Bright and laughing as a fair spring morning, the god stood in their midst, catching and hissing darts and lances in his hands. Their joyous cries at least reached the ears of Loki, whose only pleasure it was to awaken strife and dispute within the hearts of gods and men. And he hastened thither to blight, if it might be, these heaven-born flowers of joy. Taking the form of an aged dame with a staff in her trembling hand, he approached the goddess Frigga and said,
"Tell me, I pray thee, O watchful Earth Mother, wherefore the gods are glad so that I may share their joy?"
And Frigga replied, "All nature has sworn to me to do no harm to my son Balder. His life was in great peril, but now shall the Norn's reed be brought to naught, nor shall he descend into the kingdom of pale hell." But Loki asked,
"Did thou take oath of everything upon earth?"
And Frigga answered, "Of all save the tender mistletoe that grows east of Valhalla. From that surely there is naught to fear."
She's the one to blame. It's her fault. Like, if you'd done your job properly, the world wouldn't end, because you've asked everything else to swear, apart from mistletoe. And I can think of things softer than mistletoe.
This is the thing, like, seaweed, maybe, or like
cotton?
I mean,
or
I think something
a
wrong
cloud?
Here. A cloud, yeah. How would a cloud ever kill him? Yeah, I don't know. I think there's something wrong with the story here also. But again, I think Matthias
Why? Yeah, I'd be interested to know why they think mistletoe was the thing. It seems like an odd thing to choose, unless maybe it wasn't that popular in the area, and it was just something maybe that they kind of knew of and was.
Does anyone on the chat know this? Because I think there's something. I think this is a simple retelling of. Again, I think there's something else. There's something else going on with the mistletoe, and there's something else going on with Loki as well. Or was it simply that she just didn't think it was harmful at all?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think it is just that she didn't think it was harmful enough to worry about, which just seems negligent. Just do it. You've done everything else.
You've asked everything else. Yeah.
Yeah, just do it. You're there. You're in the area, so...
It was because it was so anonymous, because it was so innocuous in some sense. Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose maybe. Yeah. But, I mean, I think it's just those kind of things, right? Like, if you want to... Like, I wonder what the real morale or whatever here is. I suppose it's just, like, don't just because something seems innocuous or harmless doesn't mean it can't be, if put to use by the right hands or the wrong hands, in whichever way you want to look at it, right? So yeah, it's just a warning to sort of don't. I mean, oh, you think, oh, that's just a little detail. That's not going to become a problem. But, you know, if you leave a little piece of muck in the corner for a long time and not do anything about it, it becomes mold and this looks disgusting and might not have looked like anything in the beginning. But, you know.
And then The Last of Us happens. That's
what's that?
I said you leave a bit of dust and the mold happens and then some mushrooms grow, spores happen, and then we turn into zombies. If TV has taught me anything.
Is that what The Last of Us is all about, you're saying?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Because, you know, there are fungus that does that, right?
Yeah, the ones with the ant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
It's insane. I saw a video the other day of an ant with, like, the back of it was non-existent anymore. It just decayed, and it was still moving. Because this fungus was, or bacteria was controlling its body.
It's controlling it, right? It's controlling it.
It's so creepy. It's so creepy. And apparently, apparently it's not that it's not controlling the mind. So the mind is still there of the creature. It's just controlling the body itself. So in theory, not with the beetle that I saw, because it was clearly dead, but of something that was still maybe alive, like the mind would still be functioning as normal, but it would have no control over its own body. Yeah, it's terrifying.
Wild, man.
It definitely is. Okay.
Imagine if they could do that to humans. What if they sort of like mutated and were able to do that to humans?
Well, that's,
I suppose that is what The Last of It is all about.
That's it. It's a good show. Watch it.
I'll watch it for sure.
Okay.
Anyways.
On to Mistletoe.
Now as Loki rejoiced, Mistletoe causes the death of the tree from which it draws its life. Slipping softly out from the gates of Valhalla, he hastened to where it grew, breaking it off, fashioned from the tough stem a dart, which he sharpened to the keenest point. Then, as the old woman, he again joined the circle of the gods, still busy with their sports. Perceiving Hoda, the blind god, stood apart, listening to his companions' joyous cries, but unable to share their sports. He drew near him and said, "Why dost thou not?" "Why dost thou not hurl the spear or speed the dart?" "Alas, how can I?" replied Hoda. "Were not the light gone from my eyes, gladly I would also do honor to Balder."
"Nay, then thou shalt," said Loki. "Take thou bow and dart. I will guide its flight for thee."
Oh, it's so cruel, isn't it? When you think about it, it's so mean.
What Loki does.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's just...
likes to fuck things up.
Doesn't Hodor get killed as well for it?
He gets something.
Your sister just turned up.
Oh, how cozy. Hi, Amelia. What, sorry?
Oh, we said it's how mean cruel. It was. Yeah.
It's so cruel, yeah. It's fucking cruel. But that's what he does, you know, he stirs shit up. But he also gets really punished for this one. This one is the one that...
He does. He gets his comeuppance.
He gets his comeuppance in this one, for sure. This one is the thing that sets everything properly in motion, right? With Ragnarok and everything, so... Anyway, Hoda did as he was bid, and down sank Balder to the ground. This was the greatest misfortune which had ever befallen the gods of Valhalla. For a space they stood horror-stricken, gazing at the corpse of the gentle god. Then the vaulted halls echoes their cries of woe. Beyond all words were their grief and anguish. At length they bethought them to seek the author of the evil deed. But vengeance was beyond their power, for Odin's palace is a sanctuary. Moreover, Loki had vanished. With sighs and lamentations, they bore their beloved dead to the seashore, where drawn up on rollers stood Balder's ship. On this his body was to be burned.
I don't know why this just came to my head then. When you said about rollers, all I could think of this was, have you ever seen Scouse women when they go out shopping with the hair rollers in? have you ever seen them? It's like a whole collective of people who they're getting ready for the night. So they go out shopping in the day with the hair rollers in, and they're all made up ready. And I don't know why I just had this picture of all. Yeah. And I had this image of all these Vikings like stood around the bay with their little hair rollers in, getting ready to have curly hair, just ready for the funeral to mourn Balder.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where my mind
goes. But I don't know where your mind goes. Is it a Scouse? Oh, that's what I don't understand. Why would they like a particularly Scouse thing?
They like to make a big effort when they go out, I think.
Right, okay. Because so, they have this fucking accent. Then you have to make up with a... Oh, fuck's sake.
It's not your best accent.
It's so difficult, though.
Calm down, mate.
Calm down, mate. Oh, that was good.
That's the only thing I can say is Scout. That's all I've got.
Say it again.
Calm down, Jonas.
Say mate. That's better.
Mate.
Calm down.
What do we descend into?
I don't know. Let's get on with it. shit.
Okay, Jonas, fucking hurry up, mate.
Fucking hurry up, mate. Gnosis don't get knocked out.
Who's that again? Paddy Pimblett from the UFC, right?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking dude. He's going to get so beat with this shit in this next fight. But anyway, that's a different... Let's not go there. And this, his body was to be burned. But all the efforts of the gods were powerless to stir the mighty vessel from its place. Whereupon they summoned the giantess Hurikin, fire whirlwind to their aid. A rushing sound was heard as she came with streaming hair, riding a great wolf bridled with a serpent. Nice. You know, because this is like a personal thing as well, because when we did on the Nibala cover, there is a kind of underworld goddess, hell type, evil giantess, dark, not evil, but like dark and the dark energy, basically, of femininity. And she's riding a giant wolf bridled with serpents.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, this was something that, you know, we worked with the artist, and Matthias and I were sitting in and sort of having a meeting with him and feeding him all these different iconographies, obviously. But that's really cool. I didn't know there was one in this story as well.
I mean, because we said that this was a later retelling of this story. So
it is.
Seems as though they've put the three children of Loki all together with like Fenrir, Jormungandr, and Hel, I imagine. That's the way that I understood it. Because is it Hel coming for Balder?
No, Balder's coming to hell, right? That's the whole thing. Like,
but is it not hell coming on a wolf with a serpent?
No, this is not hell. This is not hell. This is some kind of giantess. But the thing is that a lot of these giantesses, right? Like a lot of these, like, the giantesses, they are sort of like chaotic or dark or, you know, Or they are connected with the earth in this, like in the story of Skirnir, where Gerdr, the one that Freyr wants, and he sends Skirnir to get. She's some kind of earth goddess, you could say, right? She's called a giantess, but her name is Gerdr, which basically means like arable land, basically, right? So they're always sort of like connected to elements of nature, chaotic elements, and this, that, and this one, Hyrokin, is fire whirlwind. So like a huge fire, right? Again, like a nature element again, yeah. You know, like they always are, you know, but they are underworld goddesses in some sense, mm-hmm. The giantesses, right? That's what they are. That's why they're always like, they're always related to these things like snakes and wolves and these kind of things. So yeah, so that's pretty cool. So this could be from the story, I don't know. But it could also be that the author has taken in elements from other places in Nordic mythology and then just said, we should have a giantess riding in here or something. I'm not exactly sure. I can't remember this story.
It feels like there's three of them sat around and one of them's gone, we need a giantess. And the other one's gone, but she could be on a wolf. And then the third one's just gone, and a fucking snake. We need a snake on the wolf? That's it.
What about the snake as the fucking, you know, bridal man? Like holding onto that and just fucking, yeah, dude, reins. Fuck. That's the reins, exactly.
That's just three men sat around going, how can we make this more badass? And just trying to one-up each other.
Exactly. That's the most badass thing ever. Fire whirlwind on a wolf with snake as the reins, man.
I wouldn't be surprised if the wolf sets on fire in the next scene.
Yeah. Or she just, I don't know. But let's get on with it. Let's see where we are. Okay. Laying her mighty hands upon the ship, she pushed it into the sea with such force that sparks flew from the rollers.
Fucking hell. Get that wolf away from them sparks.
Yeah, all these gases. Oh my God, my hair!
Hey, a lot of hairspray.
My fucking hair, mate. The fuck is... What's going on with the sparks?
Hey, with that amount of hairspray. Whew. They're going to be in trouble.
They're flammable, you know? They're fucked. Seized with rage and chagrin at this, Thor lifted his hammer to shatter the head of the witch, but the other gods hastened to pacify him. And then a fresh misfortune befell. The heart of Baldur's blooming wife, Nanna, burst with its load of sorrow. And she sank lifeless into the arms of Frigga. The bodies of the youthful pair, thus united by death, were laid upon the funeral pyre that had been raised within the ship and consumed amid lamentations of all the gods. This is the story of Baldur's death, which brought sorrow and mourning into Odin's halls of joy. Anyway, this is cool. So this, I actually think, is also from the story that Nanna joins him on the funeral pyre. I think this is from the story as well, going with him in death. This is something you see also in India, right? Like, there's lots of these stories from Indian mythology as well about the wife being so stricken with sadness that she decides to go with the husband into death.
I've often wondered how common do you think that is, and how often is it forced,
or
does it get to a point where you think it happens like it's like one wife did it, and then it becomes the norm, or like it's expected then because one lady did it, so then a guy's like, well, she did it, you know. Dave's wife did it, so when I die, I expect you to do it because clearly you must love me as much as Cheryl loved Dave. So,
yeah, exactly.
And it just becomes this expected thing now.
That's a difficult one.
And I wonder if you get the moment when the fire's lit, if everybody stood around like looking at the wife, like, is she gonna do it? And there's a little man taking bets. He's like the little bookmaker, and he's like, come on, is she gonna do it? 5-1 that she does.
And of course, I mean, if you know the wife, that you know, if you know, Daniel's like, yeah, sure, of course, Daniel, I'll do it, I'll totally do it, dude.
Yeah, but when it comes down to it, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I'm just stood there in the afterlife, I mean, like she fucking lied. She's not here.
The fuck you on about, Cheryl? She's fucking mad. Why the fuck would I do that?
Yeah. You could just imagine all the conversations, right? Like, what the fuck would I?
Yeah, it's,
you know, it's the scouse lady going, I fucking got my head on for you, mate. And the fuck? Isn't that enough? Look at these fucking rollers with sparks in them. And they're fucking...
Oh, dear. Okay, let's go. So Boulder's wife has done the dutiful thing and jumped on the fire.
Well, she actually died before jumping on the fire, right? Because she was so sad.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. With rapture, Ingeborg and Fridtjof had listened to old Hilding's tale, while far in the distance they heard the rumbling of Thor's chariot, in which the god of thunder rides upon the clouds and saw the flickering lights that follow the blows of his hammer. Tears glistened in Ingeborg's eyes, and even Fridtjof's heart was moved. Presently they arose and turned their faces homeward. Ingeborg retired to her chamber, while Fridtjof and Hilding seated themselves on cushions before a table upon which burned a taper. Suddenly Fridtjof spoke. Terrible indeed must be the abode of the goddess of hell. Yet gladly I would die and descend thither, could I but know that Ingeborg would mourn for me as Nanna mourned for Baldur. See? That's how it fucking started.
There you go. Once it happens, it's like, that's what I require now.
You piece of shit.
Yeah.
Now he's all entitled. Now he's all
woke. You know he's telling his friends, he's like, you make sure she's on that fucking funeral
pyre. She's on that fucking thing, yeah.
One way or another, she's not embarrassing me like that. You get her on there.
Exactly.
Oh, and it's fucking sad because it probably happened as well.
Fucking make sure she made her head with those fucking rollers first.
Yeah. Needs to get a nice little spark when she jumps on.
Exactly. Hilding was amazed at this speech. Alas, my son, he said. Can it be that thou art cherishing a love for Ingeborg? Never can it bring thee happiness. Bethink thee, King Bele's ancestors and are descended from the gods. While thou art but the son of a yeoman, from the sons of princes will Bele choose a son-in-law, nor mayst thou ever hope to wed his child. Fridtjof laughed and his eyes flashed as he answered. The gods take no heed of rank. With them, valor is all. Destiny is all. They will spurn him.
Little Uhtred cameo there.
Destiny is all. Get the fuck out of here. Okay, anyways.
Uhtred, calm down, son. Calm down.
Calm down. Get the fuck out of here, Uhtred.
I mean, if no one else has fun, at least we do.
Yeah. The fuck are you doing here, mate? It's not even your fucking story, okay?
Okay. they will spurn him who fails in courage, even though he be of their own blood. But him who strives with all his soul to imitate them in godlike deeds, they will hold in honor. The fame I've already won for myself by slaying the beasts of the forest shall count as much for me as if my ancestral line stretched up to Odin's halls. Oh, alas, for this love of thine, cried Hilding. I fear me 'twill bear thee naught but thorns. My old eyes were dim that I saw not what mischief was brewing. My knees are old and knackered. That's That's from Life of Brian. Anyways, fuck it.
Nay, father, say not so, answered Frigid. Never till this day have I thought to win Ingeborg for my wife. Tis but now my heart hath revealed its yearnings for her, and her alone in all the world. I swear to thee by all the gods that never shall her image be banished thence. If need be, my sword shall be my woer. I would contend for her with the thunder god himself, nor will I give her up so long as life shall last. Yet of this I will say naught to her father, but sue for her in due form after the manner of our forefathers. As Fridtjof thus spoke, Ingeborg sat in her chamber, busy with tapestries, her thoughts also busy with him. In his form she seemed to see the fair young god Balder, and prayed the gods to guard the noble youth and grant him fame and honor. That's the end of that chapter.
So, what was the point of the whole Balder? Do you think they just ran out of material, a little bit of filler?
I think it's a filler, to be honest. Yeah, I think it's, but it's like, you know, we're switching to hear a story from Old Norse mythology, and I guess that's a cool thing to put into a retelling of an old saga.
Yeah.
But it's also that it, of course, inspires him to think about what he would do for the love of Ingeborg, and then we get the whole this is a pretty good story plot, like, reveal, right? We get the reveal that this is probably going to get pretty, it's going to get pretty shitty before it gets better, or before it gets good. He's going to have to go through a lot to get this girl, right?
I mean,
because he's a lowborn.
It is that story as old as time, isn't it? It's Romeo and Juliet. It's,
yes.
You know, you have the male protagonist is a little whippersnapper from the streets. And then you have the female protagonist, which is, you know, a highborn. She's a princess, and he has to work his way up there to get the lady. He's usually a cheeky chappy. He's, you know, a little bit naughty.
Yeah, exactly.
But he wins them all around with his little adventures.
I mean, there was wasn't there a lot of callbacks to Volsunga Saga as well, in a way. In some way. Or maybe not really. Volsunga Saga is just dark as fuck throughout the whole thing.
Well, certainly the final act is quite
it's
sad.
Also about two people that can't get with each other, right? Because she is a Valkyr, actually. Right,
you left that one out.
No, this one isn't, but in Volsunga Saga,
yeah.
What's her name?
Brynhild
is a Valkyrie, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so they also can't really get together, but that isn't really the main thing about this. It seems to be more the main part of this one. Yeah, it is a kind of Romeo and Juliet, right? Unlikely couple that conquers all through love and devotion. The whole going back and forth between should you follow your duty, the whole stoic principle, or should you follow your passions? And I mean, this question is as old as time in many ways, right? It's a beautiful question,
and you can guarantee the dad's trying to marry her off to the handsome prince from the next kingdom over as well.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, I can relate to that a lot, actually, in many ways. I mean, having been for the last many years, like, I've only in relationships with girls from completely different cultures, like vastly different cultures, right? And different levels of that culture as well. it's not that I've had to go through anything like this, obviously, but there, it's
Jonas, it definitely... with that accent, nobody's going to believe that you were the pauper. No one's thinking that you were the hard one who was struggling to get the girl.
I can tell you that I was, you know. I can, you believe you me, I definitely was. But Nena, for sure, like there's no doubt about it. Like, but so I know everything about like the struggles of that. Mm-hmm. Of course, in a completely different way. And Nena's family is, is very cool and open minded compared to many other more traditional Indian families and such. But sure, mm-hmm. I mean, the whole cultural differences, these are real things, man. These are real mm-hmm. things. Like, people go out like, yeah, we can just all love each other and all people are the same and all that. And yeah, that is also true. But that doesn't mean that there isn't a reality to falling in love across cultures and languages and different ways of upbringing and different layers of society as well. And yeah, for sure. Even with this accent, I was the pauper. I can trust me. I just had a good Danish education, I believe, or whatever.
I can't imagine how difficult that is. Obviously, you know, I'm seeing Alyssa. She's Norwegian, and I find a little cultural difference just between sure. us. And it's not, you know, we're still both, you know, European countries. So I can't imagine what it's like when you go even further into, you know, into Asia, to India. But that must be a complete change, a complete shock almost.
In so many ways. But the funny thing is that at the same time, what is so mind-blowing about this is that at the same time, and I would say this both for Nena and you know, it goes for my current girlfriend who's Ukrainian, right? Like, which is also vastly different, like, you know, really is. But you know, the thing is that I have met many Danes from different parts of Danish society as well. You know, they could be, you know, from one of the different parts. Like, I grew up in Bornholm, it's a small island. They could be from the peninsula or whatever. It doesn't really matter. They could also just be someone living right next to me, to be honest, that I would have less in common with than I have with Nena or Julia or that I would have with a lot of friends of mine who mm-hmm. like you or like Alex from the States or whoever the fuck it might be, you know. Like, so what are these things that connect us as human beings, right? Like, because it is true that those things do transcend these arbitrary cultural differences and so on, because that is truth at the same time, even if those things are to be. And here comes the thing, right? Like, that's a little detail. Oh, that's a little detail that we're culturally different and so on. Yeah, but if you do not pay attention to that little detail, it becomes like the mistletoe and it'll fucking kill you, you know? So,
Look at that. Look at that little...
That all got tied together.
Amazing. Yeah, nice. we're getting better.
We're getting better, bro. Yeah, yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's
absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And I think, you know, for all its negative side, like, social media also helps break those boundaries, because it makes us
for sure
much more capable of mixing with different cultures and sharing ideas.
Yeah, you find your communities, right, as well, like that. Mm. You see, like, hey, actually, okay, I have this whole community with people that are from everywhere in the world. We are all into the same thing, and we're all, like, you know, we can discuss this as human beings and all that kind of stuff, right? Like, actually, this leads me to something that's blowing my mind, and I am working out my thoughts in real time right here. Of course, I've been thinking about it before, but I still don't really know what to make of it, because it's kind of a strange situation, because I'm here in Unawatuna right now in Sri Lanka, and the place is...
Oh, yeah. You've not mentioned you're in Sri Lanka yet.
No, I wanted to say specifically... Fuck you, man. I wanted to say specifically where I am in Sri Lanka. Because this place, Unawatuna, is packed with Russians. Like, it's fucking over. Like, there is, if you hear like a German, you know, the German language or English, like British language or something like that, you just get all like, oh, thank fucking God. Like, and it's not to say anything bad about Russians in particular, but it's just like when there is just a place where it's just like one group of people that comes, it just creates a weird vibe, man. It just does. But apart from the weird vibe, you know, that aside, that's just, that would be the same if it was packed with Danes or packed with Englishmen or packed with whatever. It's just one of those things. But that's not the point. The point is that I'm walking up and down with these Russians. I'm sometimes speaking to some of these Russians. I am sitting at restaurants with Russians all around me and all that kind of stuff. And we're at war.
Yeah.
We're at war. I mean, the Germans and the English people who are here, you know, they're just way fewer, are also sitting there. And we're all in a proxy war with Russia. All ties have been cut. Things are fucking crazy. Everyone's talking about Armageddon. Is it like how dangerous this game that we're playing right now is? Is it's going to be the changing the whole fucking world history? It's horrible. Hundreds of thousands of Russians and Ukrainians have died already. It's crazy. And
obviously, and here, with you, you're dating a Ukrainian.
I'm dating a Ukrainian girl, exactly. And here we are, sitting down and talking, and you know, and the other day we went out for a whale safari kind of thing. We didn't get to see any whales. Got to see dolphins, though. Pretty cool. But that's not the point. The point is that
they just put an extra large fin on the dolphin and pretend it was a. That's not how whales work. I was thinking of sharks. Forget it. Go back.
That's, they do have a, they all have fucking fins.
I know.
Sharks have bigger ones, maybe.
I was just thinking of dressing a dolphin up like a shark, but can't really do it back with a whale, I don't think.
Anatomy 1, Dan 0. Yeah. Nice. but anyways, the point is that there were some Russians there. We were sitting down. We were talking about the war, and they were like, I have fucking sucks. And but we don't know what the fuck to do about it, and blah, blah, blah. And you know, I know a little bit of Russian, so I played around. But I said like "piets," which means like, yeah, it's just fucked. You know, like it means something more particular. But we sat there and had these conversations, and again, I'm just thinking like, this is so fucking weird. Like, there's no problem here with any of us. Like, we don't have any problem. Us normal people, we don't fucking have any problem. Maybe we differ a bit in how things are. What's right and what's wrong and this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, none of us want this fucking war. Very few people want this war. And the people that come here certainly don't want this war. Many of them are actually also people that run away from the draft and shit like that, so they won't get drafted when he does these big mobilizations and shit like that, you know? Like,
yeah.
You know, I've spoken to several Russians down here who have hotels and stuff like that and who've mainly put out... like ads to get Ukrainians to come here and work because they want them to like all this kind of stuff is happening, but it's just so weird. Like, why is this war happening at all? You know, when you can easily see that nobody fucking wants it, you know, it's so weird. Like, I don't know what to say about it. Like I said, I haven't worked my thoughts out about it. It's just weird that I can experience something like this in wartime, being in a place where, my enemy, you know, they're my enemy, right? Are right here. And I'm hanging out with them and having dinner with them and all that kind of stuff.
It just shows that it's not the everyday people, you know. I remember seeing, I think it was an advert for...
But then why the fuck is it happening? If we, the people who are clear the majority, don't want this shit to happen, why is it still happening? Why is it so difficult for us to go together and say, hey, we don't care about all the politics and all that kind of shit and all the fucking companies and that have money and investing and that. We don't care about all that. We just want to stop killing each other now. Like, how about we do that? Like, that'd be really good idea.
It takes a mass mobilization, doesn't it? And
I know it
doesn't happen because usually if you start it, you just disappear.
Dan, I know it's a stupid question for me. It's a stupid question for me to ask, of course. I know all this shit. But you understand, I'm just talking about the existential weirdness of the situation that I'm in because it doesn't make any fucking sense that this is happening.
It doesn't.
You know?
Like I said, I remember seeing an advert and it was two kids, and they were put in a room, and they were both from different countries that were like, they'd been at war for generations, and I can't remember what countries they were. And they put these two kids in a room, they were maybe like 10-year-old, and gave them some toys. And these two kids just do what kids do. And they played, they had fun, they became good friends. And the whole message was, you know, like, it doesn't, you know, these two kids are meant to hate each other. They're meant to be enemies. They're probably going to be raised to be enemies after this point.
Yeah, exactly.
But in that moment, it doesn't matter. They were just friends. They didn't care. They were just like, oh, you're a kid like me. Let's hang out and have fun.
It's all these fucking categories and perspectives and bullshit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, let's get out of here. I know your internet is going a little bit sketchy, so it's maybe a little bit of a shorter one than usual, but
we'll come back strong on the next one, and I'll have a awesome mic.
New microphone, new headphones. Yeah, and I'm really sniffly today as well, so if I sound different, then that's why.
I'm going back to India now, not tomorrow, the day after. And I'll have access to more good locations and the equipment and all that there. Sri Lanka is going through a lot, man. It's a beautiful fucking place. I recommend everyone here to go check it out and go there. And they need it right now. And it's an awesome place. But it's struggling, man. Like the price of gas is... The price of gas here is maybe 1/4 of what it is in Norway, and think about what they earn.
Okay, yeah.
Like they earn 1/80 of what they earn in Norway, right? And the gas price is 1/4. It's fucked, bro. Mm. It's fucked.
It's the whole world feels like that at the minute. I think everybody's just feeling the pinch and the tightness.
But this place more than many other places. Of course, you're not feeling it when you're sitting in a tourist place like this, or when you're in Kandy, which is the beautiful old colonial town, or any of that kind of stuff. I have some really interesting stories about the experiences I've had with local Sri Lankan people, but I'll save that for next time, because some of it's going to be quite controversial. But you'll have fun hearing it.
I'm sure I will. You know what? I love how we can go from doing terrible Scouse accents to 2 minutes later having a serious conversation about world peace. And yeah, it's, I like it.
It's just a flow, bro. It's just a flow.
No, it's good. I enjoy this.
Me too, brother.
When we're having fun, that usually means that other people are having fun listening as well, I think.
We can only hope.
I hope so. thank you very much. You go get some sleep.
Thank you, guys.
Next time, like say, you'll have better internet and we'll come back stronger.
For sure.
Before we go, we did mention Saga of the Volsungs earlier on Patreon. Mm-hmm. We do have the story time of the whole... The Saga of the Volsungs. I think it's like a 5-part series where we go from the beginning all the way through, and that has some of my favorite story time moments in it. When you were reading the all the birds in the trees, and they just kept being more and more birds, and you were running out of voices as you were going along. That is one of my favorite moments from story time. So if you do want to listen to them. Yeah, if you do want to listen to them, we do have this iteration of story time is like us bringing it back. So we're on episode 3 here, but we do have like a smaller little segment of it already up on Patreon that you can listen to. So when you sign up, you get access to the whole back catalog, and you can listen to a bunch of different sagas that we've already done, as well as getting all the new ones. And you can watch them live, and you can watch the main show live, and you can ask the guests your own questions in a Q&A for the main show. So yeah, there's a bunch of stuff over there. Please just take a minute to go check it out. And like I say, it keeps us going. It keeps Jonas coming back every, you know, twice a month. It's not, you know, it takes up quite a bit of time. It's not a quick thing. You know, you know, we might record for an hour, but you have an hour either side, probably, that takes time, you know, setting all your equipment up, getting stuff ready, reading the saga, seeing where we got up to last week. And then after,
yeah,
it takes a little bit of time to decompress, put all your stuff away, then think about what we're going to do next time. So it's exactly. Not just an hour, you know, you have to block out a good chunk of time to do these, and that has to be compensated in some ways. And that's why we try and push Patreon quite often. And we know it gets a little bit frustrating, but unfortunately, it's what we've got to do. So, yeah. And if not, go and listen to Nabal on all streaming services. I was going to say that earlier.
Oh, yeah. Please do. Please do. And we have another live video coming out on the 9th of March. Sorry, on the 9th of March.
Wonderful.
So that's coming out from Mikael's Blood. And then a month after, we'll have the whole show up. So, yeah. Yeah, stay tuned.
Big things. Wonderful. Obviously, go follow Jonas Lorentzen on social media. You can follow me, Daniel_Aaron1. Obviously, the business Horns Won, and equally follow the podcast, Nordic Mythology Podcast, on all the platforms. Yeah, this is a lot of fun.
Everything's Jonas, in the notes and all that stuff.
Yeah, yep. It's somewhere. You'll find it. Everyone will find it if they want to find it. Thank you very much. Have a good evening, and I look forward to seeing you crystal clear in 2 weeks' time.
You shall. Shall indeed.
Just new microphone, new headphones.
It's going to be great when I come back to Europe. Then I'll set up a proper little podcast corner.
Wonderful. I look forward to it. All right, man. Thank you very much. Thank you as always. Now get the fuck out of here.
Let's fuck off. Let's have fuck.
Hey, fuck off, Jonas. Good night.
What the fuck are you always talking to me like this? And just start talking. Men should start talking.
any Liverpoolian patrons we have we've lost. Listeners have lost, are gone. They're like, that's the worst accent.
Fucking know. The worst scouse ever.
The worst. No, I truth it. I do love Liverpoolians, just to put that in as a little...
Me too, earlier. Me too. I was just hanging out with one earlier. A lovely old lady.
Yeah, they're some of the most fun people to hang around with.
Yeah, they totally are, man.
All right. Good night. All right, bro. Take care.
Good night. Bye.